For those of you who have heard Ed talk, you know that he's passionate about the Emmaus Walk, and it's made a difference in his life. And so I thought it fitting to ask him to be the one to read that scripture today and maybe share just a little bit with us. So if you have that opportunity, it may be something you want to explore. But I think today, as we look in scripture, we'll understand that the Emmaus Walk is really something that, as the disciples were taking part in, it was a grieving time for them. It was a hurting time for them. It was a time when things didn't feel hopeful in their lives. And my guess is many of us have those throughout our lives where we're walking down these roads. And the idea of the Emmaus Walk was that, although they didn't realize it, Jesus came alongside of him. In the struggles that we have of everyday life, Jesus desires or does do the same thing with us. It's whether, a matter of whether or not we recognize him. And I think the Emmaus Walk is an intention for us to recognize that. So if you have that opportunity, you might want to consider it. And if you want further explanation, I know that Ed would be very happy to talk to you about it. So you've heard the scripture read, Luke 24:13-35, that talks about the Emmaus Walk, what happened. And I want to kind of condense it into three talking points. The first one is that Jesus pursues us. Jesus pursued the disciples here. Jesus knew they were hurting. He knew that they were scared. He knew that they were confused about what was going on. They were grieving. And he wanted to support them. He wanted to encourage them. Jesus desires to do the same thing for us. I want you to think for a minute. I'm not going to ask anybody to share anything with me or anyone else, but what is your struggle? What is your struggle right now that you're dealing with? It could be big, it could be small, but the majority of us have some type of challenge in our lives. Even if life is going great, there's still challenges that are there. Rarely is everything just perfect. So what is your struggle? And as you think about that struggle, I want you to realize that God desires to be a part of that struggle. And one of the things God does, and what Baptists tend to be really good at, in fact, we're known for, and there are people who have become Baptists simply because they wanted more of this, and that is that Scripture speaks to our struggle. Scriptures give us advice. Scriptures give us instruction. Scriptures tell us how to deal with life. We talk about it in a children's message. It's an instruction manual. And it truly is. But you know, as good as we get that sometimes what we fail to see is that we're struggling so hard sometimes to understand that instruction manual and may not know exactly what it's talking about. We don't realize that Jesus Christ is standing right beside us wanting to help us interpret and understand that just like he did for the disciples. Because you see, in the passage on the road to Emmaus, he inspired them so much so that they even asked him to come and stay at his house because they realized he was filled with wisdom. They realized he was communicating scripture to them. They realized that they were understanding things they hadn't understood before. Jesus wants to do that with us. So yes, we're to pay attention to our scripture, our Bible. It's a gift from God. He didn't give it to us for no reason. He gave it to us for a good reason, and we're supposed to use it. But he wants to be a part of helping us to not just read it, but to live it out every day. And he can, and he does, and he will do that if we only allow it. This leads to the second thing. Things don't always happen as expected. Do you think the disciples, as they're walking along, expected Jesus to show up? The easy answer is no. He was dead. He had just been crucified. They didn't expect him to show up. And so they weren't looking for him. And this Jesus, the one they were grieving for, is right there beside of them. And he begins to talk and speak into them. The thing I challenge us with is there are times that Jesus will show up in ways and at places we least expect it. Don't put Jesus in a box. Don't put God in a box. Don't think the only time you can communicate or that God can speak to you is when you're at church or when you're doing your quiet time. I think both of those are extremely important. And God has a purpose for that. But when we limit God to that, and then we think we're going to go and have control and do what we're supposed to by ourselves and don't make God a part of it except for maybe trying to remember what happened in our quiet time or remember what happened at church last Sunday, we're missing out on what God desires to do, which is walk right beside of us, no matter where we are, and show up in the most unexpected places. Because you know, when He shows up in the more unexpected places, it's usually when it has more impact on us. So that was the second. The third thing, Jesus longs to spend time with you. Jesus doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything from us. But God created us, and He created us for a purpose, and that's to commune with Him. God longs to have time with you and me, but He's not going to force it. Jesus wanted to console and encourage those He loved, like I said, because they were hurting. He wanted to come into their house. He wanted to be there, but He didn't force it. In fact, He acted like, you know, we've had this conversation, but I got further to go. I'm going on down the road. And they realized that they wanted time with Him, so they invited Him to stay, saying, it's late, you should stay with us. Come to our house. And so He did. So the thing we need to pay attention to, what we need to be willing to do, is to invite Christ into our homes, literally, and into our lives. If you really had to answer that question, what would your answer be of how present is God in your home? And I don't mean just when you say a blessing before a meal. I don't mean the nice sayings you may have on your wall. I mean all the time. When there's hardship, when there's struggle, when people are disagreeing, or maybe mine is the only house that anybody disagrees in. But how present is God in our homes? Because if He's not present in our homes, it's really hard to make Him present in our lives in a genuine way. Matthew 25, 34 through 40 is a scripture. I told you that I shared a brief thing with Wheeling for Hope. And this is what I told them. It's called the blessing of the beast is what I do, praying over them and their jeeps that they'll have safety and all that. And I said, you know, you are already blessed before I do any blessing. And this is why I'm going to tell you, because Scripture says so. That passage in Matthew, it says that you are blessed if you care for the sick. And it's the whole passage of the sheep and goats, and there's a lot of other stuff there too. And Wheeling for Hope is related to Relay for Life. And so what they do, they come and they pay a couple $100 to go jeeping, and that covers the cost of what they're going to do while they're there. But if you look at the back of your bulletin, since 2010, this one event, I think it's connected, everything's connected to that event, correct, Melissa? They've raised over $120,000. That was not their entry fee that got them $120,000. In fact, the entry fee pretty much just covers what the cost is there. What these people do, they come and there are these things that have been given, and they buy tickets and tickets and tickets and more tickets just at a chance to win some. They spend more money on the tickets probably than what anything could possibly be worth that they're going to get from the drawing, because what it's about is about being able to help other people. So we had a time, the first one, I prayed yesterday, we prayed for Angie. And we prayed for Kenneth Smith. And then other people raised their hands and said names of people who had lost their lives. And we talked about the fact that cancer did not defeat them, but that they live on. And that the people there are blessed because there's some of the scriptures talk about, and it says that blessed are those who go and visit the sick. And that's not wrong, but I think a better explanation is the one here where it says they care for the sick. Because these people at Wheeling for Hope, they're caring for people they know and people they've never met in the tune of $120,000. That's putting your money where your mouth is. And yes, they're having a blast in the midst of doing it, but I think that's how God wants us to live. God wants us to make a difference. God wants us to invest our lives in people who need us, who are hurting, who are struggling. And the story of the sheep and goats tell that. We can't do that unless we have Him as our Lord and Savior. If we make Him present in our lives, but when we do that, it changes everything. It changes our lives, it changes the lives of people that we know, and it changes lives of people that we won't meet until we get to heaven. So, I challenge you to be who God's called you to be, even on your Emmaus Road experience. And all of us have them, those struggles and challenges. I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward. There's some places over here you can sit. And we're going to have communion. If you remember on the road to Emmaus, how was it that the disciples came to recognize who Jesus was? When did they recognize Him? Anybody remember? Anybody tell me? When He broke the bread. Jesus came in, He set to sup with them, He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it to them. That's when they recognized who He was. That was because Jesus had been a part of their lives, and even though for some reason physically they didn't recognize who He was, they recognized what He did. They recognized what He stood for, and they knew what was happening then. We're come to the table on a regular basis, and this isn't something we do just because it's tradition. It's something Jesus Christ asked us to, and that's why we do it. But why did He ask us to do it? Because He doesn't want us to forget. He doesn't want us to forget the cross. He doesn't want us to forget the empty grave. He doesn't want us to forget that He's walking beside us every single day down any road, no matter how dusty, no matter how rocky, no matter how many cracks, no matter how many holes, no matter how many ditches, no matter how many barricades we have to cross. Jesus never, ever leaves us. And we're to remember that. And this is to remind us. Not because you're going to show up somewhere and there's going to be a communion table there and you're going to say, oh yeah, Jesus is here. It's because we're reminded of what He did and how much He loves us and the fact that He will never leave us. So now is the time that we're going to come to the table. And we're going to have a time of sharing in the bread and the cup. And one of the reasons we do it the way we do is we pass to each other. We are representatives of Christ, so we share. We give to each other. We don't just come and take it ourselves. You'll see, I don't even come and take mine. One of the deacons will serve me. Because Jesus gave that example of serving, and that it can't be all about us. I'm going to ask our deacons now if they would come. Met with His disciples. He took the bread and He broke it and He said, this is My body given for you. And they didn't understand really what all that meant. But then some of these same disciples He appeared to again on the road to Emmaus and then eventually ended up going to their house. And as He sat down with them, it had to have in some way sent chills down their spines when they sat down there together at a table and once again He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to them. We do this on a regular basis here, but Jesus Himself does that to us in our everyday lives if we will simply acknowledge it. So I invite you to do that. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You have blessed us. You have given us the gift of life, not just eternal life with You in heaven, but You've given us the gift of life now, the gift of hope, the gift of promise, the gift of power and courage. So God, we accept that. and ask that you would reflect your love and your peace and your hope to others through us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take ye and eat. Blood travels all throughout our bodies, gives life to every part of our body. In fact, if you're able to just take a small string and just do something that cuts off the circulation, that part of the body can actually die. That's what happens in our physical body. In our spiritual body, we have to have the blood of Christ. We have to accept that his death on a cross was something that happened so we could have life, true life. And so I invite you to embrace what he said to his disciples at the first true communion, when he said, "This is my blood given for you. Take ye and drink." Lord, we all have our struggles. We all have our own Emmaus Road experiences. And in the midst of that, you are walking beside of us whether we see you or not. I pray that we will have eyes to see. I pray that we will even be at times those that walk alongside others in their own Emmaus Road experience. And just maybe, they see you through us. And we're a part of helping you to show up in those unexpected ways and unexpected places. God, thank you for loving us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come on back up. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and as we do that, you're invited to respond. This is an invitation time that you can come forward. Maybe there's something that's stirred in you and you'd like a time to pray. The altar's open. You don't have to come to me. You can kneel there. I would be happy to pray with you if you desire to do that. It may be, and this happens on occasion, there may be somebody here in this congregation right now that you're just feeling drawn to, and even during that invitation, you just may want to go and put an arm around them, or you may want to say a prayer with them. Whatever it may be, this is a time for us to respond in whatever way God is leading us to respond. So I invite you to stand as we do that.